This is John Martinka, and welcome to another Getting the Deal Done educational version of our podcast series. And today we're going to talk specifically to business buyers, although everybody who counsels buyers or even owns a business and is thinking, maybe I'll buy one, but someday I'm going to sell, needs to pay attention to this. 20 business buying rules. They're in my book, Buying a Business That Makes You Rich. And here we go. The first few are the most important. Now, this is for both our podcast series audio and our YouTube podcast. So I'm not going to read everything, but I'll get to the gist of it. Searching for a business is like searching for customers. It is a sales effort, and you need a proven plan, and you need to implement it. And that means have a Nike moment and just do it. No excuses. Cash is king. Cash flow is king. It really is true in all aspects of business and life. But I think one of my favorites is, because I think it is the most important rule, is tied to cash is king. The queen is relationships. And just like in chess, the queen is the most powerful piece on the board. Buyers and sellers, this is a relationship game. Don't forget that. One of my clients many years ago, he had started a business. I helped him sell it to a friendly competitor. He then went out and bought two new businesses in a different industry. And while we were having lunch to go over everything, he said, I would never buy a business from or sell one to somebody I don't like. That is so key in the small, mid-sized, lower middle market range of companies. Hey, if you're out there going, yeah, I'm just going to peruse the market and I'll know it when I see it, forget it. You need to have some criteria. You need to know what you don't want. You need to know, it's not just type of business, but it's businesses that will fit your skills into them. And that's where we get to the next rule, which is you got to figure out where you can add value. One of my favorite stories is a client named Bill. Bill bought a company that sold blocks of service time. The website of the company was a brochure. We noticed that within 2 months of ownership, he added value by converting the website to an ordering system. His employees' productivity skyrocketed without phone calls, phone tag, all of that stuff. He doubled the business in 2 years, and he then told me the website was the most important factor because it freed up his employees to do other things. Here's a good one I learned from former president of a public company when we worked together. Growth hides a lot of operational warts. You can pick apart operations, you can cut expenses, but if you're not growing, it's a one-time thing. Fall in love with the business, the model, its value proposition, its competitive advantage, not just the product. You know, one of my best clients, Keith Jackson, owns a company that makes outdoor products. And every so often I will remind him of when he was asked by a TV reporter, we were doing an interview, if he was really into the outdoors because of the products. And he just said, I hate camping. I like making things. That's what you want to do. Right. This next one is one that I get a lot of questions about and snickers when I do this in a presentation. The bigger the spreadsheet, the less chance of a deal. There can always be another question. I had a client that we nicknamed Columbo because every meeting, there'd always be one more question. He got analysis paralysis. Biggest fear you can have in a small business is the owner is the dependency, the key dependency, the only one who can do certain things, you know, approve the bids, program the machine. They're working in, not on the business. I learned this about 20 years ago, the next one, about 20 years ago from a very experienced M&A person when he said, due diligence is no time for surprises. Hey, buyers don't want to be surprised. Sellers, get the warts out up front. Get the big red flags known. So again, no surprises in due diligence. And then buyers, you cannot be a defensive buyer. You're going into it not to protect your butt, but to grow the darn thing. You've got to be opportunistic. You've got to see where you can add value and jump on it. Here's a big one. It's something I've been speaking about for 20 years now. Education is one of the three key factors to getting a deal done, along with motivation and relationship. Understand what goes into the process. You will get frustrated. There will be ups and there will be downs. There are certain ranges of value. You're not going to buy it for book value, and the seller's not going to sell it based on what a $500 million company sold as a multiple of EBITDA. And also make sure the seller knows the banks will be nosy. And as I like to say, every time the seller thinks the buyer's asked every possible question, the bank asks more. Show confidence. Move fast. Be creative. Get it done. Give when you can give. Take when you need to take. Realize there are no perfect businesses. There are no perfect deals. It's so important. Everything has warts. You're dealing with people. Nothing's perfect. This next one, it's really interesting because a couple weeks ago, I was talking to an investor in businesses, small businesses. And we were talking about what I do. And he said, I could see how you could help people in my world. A good operator is what I want to invest in, who I want to invest in. I don't need to invest in a good deal person. I need operators. Okay. The things that may make you a good business owner don't necessarily make you a good deal person. Realize sometimes terms are more important than price. Just keep that in mind. And not going to get into any details, but your price is pretty much within a certain range, but whatever you can do as far as terms and conditions really can benefit both sides. We'll finish up with these four. I love this word, administrivia, and it will drive everybody nuts. Absolutely nuts, especially as you get near the end. Uh, 50% of profit to acquisition debt is a 2-to-1 debt coverage ratio. That's your starting point. I don't like to see buyers go lower than 1.5-to-1 debt coverage ratio. And for more on this, listen to or watch my podcast on banking. The numerator is your profit, free cash flow, actually. Your denominator is your debt. Principal and interest. The bigger that cushion, the better, because that's the money you use to pay taxes, grow the business, take a bonus, all that good stuff. And finally, in the preface to my book is this one. It says, you're going to make a leap of faith. You want to make it off a chair, not the roof. Yeah. I get the feeling my clients make a leap of faith off a chair. We keep them grounded. And then finally, the only thing worse than no deal is a bad deal. The only thing worse than No customer is a bad customer. You can take that into just about anything in life and business. Business buyers, do not get buyer fever. Do not rush into things. Do not feel under pressure. Businesses are like buses. If you miss one, another one will come along. And I can think of many, many, many clients who lost a deal, were down. The deal they ended up doing was much better. So don't get buyer fever. For those of you watching, there's my contact information. And again, my book, Buying a Business That Makes You Rich, Toss Your Job, Not the Dice. I want to thank you for watching or listening. Getting the Deal Done podcast series features interviews as well as these educational podcasts. And stay tuned for more. All the best.